Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to MSNBC host Dylan Radigan. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com. Brought to you today by Audible.com. Please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MrMedia for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a media-savvy nation that invested 10 minutes in watching current TV, woke up in a fog 2 hours later, and returned to MSNBC for good in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I know of at least two things that Dylan Radigan and I have in common. We both follow Piers Morgan and Howard Stern on Twitter, demonstrating that we share a taste for both the refined and unrefined. And we're both usually working at 4 p.m. daily, which shows neither of us is quite smart enough to game the system, yet. Oh wait, three things. We both probably never want to ride another bus again the rest of our lives. Radigan, host of the daily MSNBC NewsHour at 4 p.m., known colloquially as the Dylan Radigan Show, hit the road for 3 days a month, December through March, in a customized Trailways bus. The Steel on Wheels tour, which wrapped up last week, focused on four major themes: the spirit of America, innovation, the building of our nation, and the future of America's new generations. The goal of the tour was to give voice to the average American's possible solutions to some of this country's most pressing challenges and issues. Of course, in the midst of the tour, the entire world's focus skidded out of its lane as a result of civil war in the Middle East and the combination tsunami, earthquake, nuclear plant. Boy, I can't even say that with a straight face. It's horrible, but, you know, who could believe that in one sentence, in Japan. But one thing is for sure. Dylan Radigan is nowhere near running out of hot topics to discuss, and he's here now. Dylan, welcome to Mr. Media.
Quite an introduction. Well, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, good. Glad to have you here. Glad you survived the bus.
Well, it's been quite the adventure. I actually have one more to go at the end of this week, however. I'm not done yet. I wish I was off the road at this point. Although, I'm very excited about what's coming up towards the end of this week.
Oh, well, I thought last week was the end. What's yet to come?
Oh, so our final piece is an energy summit at Oklahoma State University in Oklahoma starting on Wednesday of this week, and featuring a town hall with Boone Pickens and CIA Director James Woolsey and the head of the National Resources Defense Council and the head of Vote Vets, along with people like former Shell CEO John Hoffmeister and the mayor of Los Angeles and potentially Senator Tom Coburn. The list goes on and on, just to enjoin a debate at the end of this week, both on the show, on the web at dylanradigan.com and steelonwheels.com, and in this town hall Thursday night at OSU, about how we free America from its energy problems. And I think that we can do it. If you look at how inefficient we are, if you look at the resources we have where we need some investment in safer ways to deal with some of these resources that we have refused to make up to this point, but our opportunity to free America over the next 10 years, a la the mission to the moon, is at our fingertips, and honestly, as you and I both know, is about 30 years overdue.
Yeah, I thought by now, based on the moon, I thought by now we'd be on Mars or further out by now.
We seem to
have missed. President Obama talked last year about needing that Sputnik moment for this generation. Do you think there's the political will to get something like that done these days? It just seems like it keeps inching further and further away.
You know, the only reason that I think that the political will is percolating is because the job creation, the reduction in the trade deficit, and the boon to national security by reducing our Pentagon budget, our casualty rate, and our dependence on the Middle East combined with the jacking up of the price of energy over the next 6 months, which is going to continue to happen. Oil's expensive now. Wait till we start driving cars this summer. And the demand, we're in the lowest demand part of the year right now, after the heating season and before the driving season, and it's already $100 a barrel. And so if you look at the pressure on the consumer to wake up and deal with it, and you look at the world, you just described Japan and the Middle East, I believe that these forces, if we, you and I and anybody else who has an appetite for this, can form a coalition of the willing between the industrialists like Boone Pickens and the rest of them, with the environmentalists like the folks at the National Resources Defense Council, to form a coalition of the willing to get us off of Mideast oil and then go through a list of things that we can truly achieve on the efficiency front and on improved safety for our current natural resource extractions, we create a lot of work, we solve the trade deficit, we make America secure. Our only barrier is the big oil companies and the banks who make money with the current model.
Dylan, I mean, you're a very logical, convincing guy, but it seems like this is a really tough era for an optimist. There's so many nasty, negative, pessimistic bastards out there who just want no piece of this, and they seem to be controlling the conversation in a lot of places. How do you maintain your optimism that something positive can get done?
Well, I ultimately believe that the degree of stress that we're all experiencing and all of this nastiness is a direct symptom of how close we are to the solutions. I believe that real change in terms of how people relate to the systems in their lives, whether, again, in this case, obviously energy, healthcare, education, et cetera, doesn't come until the pain levels are very high, unfortunately, much like, think about your own personal life. Think about anybody's personal life. And I'm optimistic in that I believe that what we're experiencing and the uncomfortableness that we're all experiencing as a result of the horrors on the earth right now, war, natural disaster, our own economic pressures, the unemployment crisis, et cetera, are an incredible pressure to compel us to solve a lot of these problems over the next 10 years, which I am very optimistic is going to happen. In other words, I don't look at all this, everything going on, and think to myself, oh my God, the apocalypse is nigh, which I know some people like to think that. I look at it and say, oh my goodness, this is a time to focus up and pay attention and be helpful and be ready to extend a hand any which way you can.
Now, you and I would probably
we're about to have to solve a lot of problems, man.
Well, you and I would probably both think that, and I think we're of like mind on that. But I only have to look. I'm in Florida. I only have to look back a year ago and think back to the Gulf oil spill and think, okay, that's the moment that's going to change a lot of minds on oil and gas. And yet here we are a year later, and oh, somehow that all magically cleaned up, and even though we have this all this other stuff going on, the Middle East unrest, the nuclear calamity in Japan, I'm becoming a little pessimistic in that people, I see it one way, but there's so many people who just don't see it as a problem, or they just see it as a pot. I mean, they just can't. I don't know. It's a very frustrating time to try to be progressive and, I guess, liberal and optimistic about stuff like this.
It is incredible. I think that is the challenge of our times. That the personal challenge of our times for anybody who is a problem solver in their own lives, however they manifest that, to maintain the confidence, excuse me, that problems can and will be solved and that we will solve them. And again, it's not that this will be done in a day. It's not that this will be done in a week or a year. But if you look at the progression on the earth over the past few hundred years, let alone a few thousand years, we're generally much better off today than we were 100 years ago in the late 1800s in London, or 200 years ago in China. And so I think it's a very rocky road, and we're at a time of incredibly high change because so many legacy businesses, old business structures from the 1940s and 50s that are incredibly powerful and make incredible amounts of money for the people who own them, are threatened by the disruptions of what is possible now in the context of the digital revolution. And so they're using the governments to protect themselves by using the government to basically legislative manipulate pricing.
Well, Dylan,
on things like oil and whatever. Anyway, I just think that the one thing that I learned with the stock market is you can be right, but the stock price will tell you you're wrong for a long time.
Right.
Timing is the hardest thing to get. And so I would worry. The way I keep myself optimistic is I worry less about the outcome and focus entirely on as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be helpful to the problem of the problem, which I at this point you look at our TV assets and our web assets at DylanRadigan.com and the rest of it, and say let's gather the room and have a conversation around energy and a real conversation that brings people like the National Resources Defense Council into the same room with people like James Woolsey and Boone Pickens.
Well, Dylan, I have to do what you have to do a lot. I've got to cut you off there because they're going to cut us both off. Folks, you can see Dylan Radigan every afternoon at 4 p.m. on MSNBC's The Dylan Radigan Show. And this week, Wednesday, March 30th, Thursday, March 31st, and Friday, April 1st, the Steel on Wheels Energy Summit from Oklahoma City and Stillwater, Oklahoma. Dylan, pleasure having you on Mr. Media. Hopefully you can come back when we can talk a little more about this.
I would do it any time.
For more original interviews with your favorite TV journalists, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise, contact me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Your donation to the American Red Cross can now help support the efforts of the Japanese Red Cross. In response to the March 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and given the widespread damage and enormous humanitarian needs, the Japanese Red Cross indicated that it would accept financial support from the American Red Cross for its role in providing first aid, emotional support, and relief items to those displaced. Those who want to help can go to www.redcross.org and donate to Japan Earthquake and Pacific Tsunami. People can also text Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation to help those affected by this disaster. Your gift to the American Red Cross will support the disaster relief efforts to help those affected by the earthquake in Japan and the tsunami throughout the Pacific. Financial contributions to the American Red Cross are tax deductible. On those rare occasions when donations exceed American Red Cross expenses for a specific disaster, contributions are used to prepare for and serve victims of other disasters.